You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Dean Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz studios in Los Angeles, California, and streaming live on Ustream, this is AfterBuzz TV for the Real Housewives of New York. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip from the Real Housewives. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off, and the buzz continues, it's AfterBuzz TV for the Real Housewives of New York!
Hello, hello, Mari Sagal here, and I'm joined by Jackie Moran for our final installment of the Real Housewives. Unfortunately, Deidre Behar cannot be here to join us tonight because she's celebrating her father, Jose's birthday, so shout out to Jose.
That's right. Happy birthday, Jose.
And before we get into all the drama, I wanted to announce we're doing a new thing here at AfterBuzz TV. We're announcing the three top podcasts on iTunes. And unfortunately, Real Housewives is not on the list. So you viewers and listeners, hopefully you'll get us up there. And since this is the last installment, Jackie and I also host Keeping Up with the Kardashians together as well. So hopefully that'll be in the top three, but this week's top three are Glee Project, Project Runway, and South Park. So let's not let all those projects defeat us Real Housewives here, and hopefully you viewers will tell your friends, tell your coworkers, tell your family, and get some more viewers and listeners. So Jackie,
yes,
let's just get straight into it. What did you think of Part 2 overall?
Honestly, overall, I just, you know, like they say you want to end things on a high note. I feel like they ended things on the lowest of the low notes. I mean, honestly, these women, as much as I enjoy watching the characters, and it's kind of that love-to-hate situation, so many cases and so many episodes, I really feel like I want to know from these women what they feel like after watching this air, because I just feel the way they treated each other, the way they talked to each other, the way they presented themselves. It's been out there in the news a lot that it's really just an embarrassing kind of train wreck as far as this reunion went. And Part 2 was even worse, in my opinion. So, you know, I don't know. I'm baffled by these women.
I know, this one was pretty contentious, and I do have some news and gossip for us a little later on about, indeed, how the women feel about each other now that they've taped, now that it's all over, and what the future holds for them. But I just kind of wanted to talk about each of the women and how they came off tonight. You know, we'll talk about Kelly, because I probably am going to have the harshest things to say about Kelly, so we'll get into her a little bit later. But let's first off just start talking about Jill. There was a whole segment on whether or not she's actually changed. You know, she claims after the whole fight with Bethany last season that she's turned a new leaf, that she doesn't gossip anymore, say mean things. But I do not see that side of her, especially in this reunion. What did you think of her?
Honestly, I think the biggest representation of Jill is the fact that she forgot her planned answer. I don't know if you caught that, but like Luann kind of had to step in and sort of answer for Jill when she was confronted with that fact of whether or not she has changed. And I think that's the perfect example of what Jill's been about this whole season. I don't think she's changed at all from being very behind the back with people, talking about them. You know, she says if she's blunt, she doesn't do it with bad intentions. I don't know. That's what she eventually said, but I don't know if I agree with that. And I think she just, you know, gets caught and talks behind people's backs nonstop. And she did it this whole reunion, and it made me sick to watch it.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I mean, she just got so childish at times. Just Andy even had to call her out at one point for talking about Ramona as Ramona was talking. I mean, you're on television. It's so embarrassing.
Yeah, I mean, she called herself snarky and funny. Others would call her backstabbing and, you know, talking behind people's back. What I call her, I think the biggest word to use for her, especially this reunion, was a hypocrite, because she claims, I don't say things to hurt people. I come from a good place. I never say things with a mean intention, unlike Ramona. But that's exactly what Ramona said that she does. She, you know, she doesn't think before she speaks, and she doesn't mean it intentionally. I think Jill definitely means it intentionally. So she's being a hypocrite there. She was being a huge hypocrite when we were talking about Ramona and the Pino, because she, throughout the season, continued to claim that Ramona was an alcoholic and had problems and continued to insinuate that. And so then when Ramona finally defends herself, I'm not saying this is right. Ramona always has these low blows. I'm not saying it's right that she said it, but she said, hey, Jill, I heard you went to AA and you had an alcoholic problem. And then Jill snaps back, you know, that's a low blow. If I wanted to keep my name anonymous, you know, that's what AA is for. And she gets so angry and upset with Ramona for claiming she's an alcoholic when she was just doing that with Ramona. She was claiming that Ramona was an alcoholic. And so she can dish it, but she can't take it. And that's what annoys me about her.
I totally, totally agree with you. And I really do have to say, for Ramona, I do believe it when you're right. They both claim the same thing. And it's almost like she's copying Ramona, that she doesn't come from a bad place. I really feel genuinely that when Ramona feels cornered or attacked, she jumps out with things. And you're right, the blows can get kind of low. But I do truly believe Ramona that she doesn't come from a bad place. And she's genuinely right with what she says, even if it's not necessarily appropriate. But Jill, on the other hand, you're right. I think she has this snarky, conniving sort of she totally has intentions behind what she does. And the hypocrite thing, I totally agree with you. I mean, even in the beginning, we had left off with her walking off the set because she didn't want to talk about the children. Meanwhile, all she did was talk about Ramona's daughter, Avery, in the beginning scene. So I think you're right. She was a hypocrite all the way through. That was the only constant with Jill. And then even with Ramona and Mario and the faces she was making and the way she nodded her head to confirm that she thought Mario was cheating, that she thought the fortune teller caught him in something. I mean, how inappropriate to be, like, claiming an affair, which is non-existent. And, you know, she's talking about being appropriate. I mean, come on. She was so inappropriate at so many levels. And, yes, the AA thing, nobody should out somebody in AA. But you're right. Just because she didn't say AA doesn't mean she wasn't doing the same exact thing to Ramona. And I love that Sonia called that out because I totally agree there.
Yes. First, she was a hypocrite about the marriage. She insinuates that Ramona's marriage is bad, then when Ramona throws it back to her, she gets pissed. Then she's a hypocrite about the alcoholism. And not only is she a hypocrite, but she's a meddler, and she loves to stir up trouble. She always loves to stir up trouble. And what I thought was so ridiculous this episode, I don't know if you noticed, she brings up the deformity comment, the fact that Ramona, you know, said something about her stepdaughter having a deformity. That was not even a theme or a question brought up by Andy. The way these reunions work is Andy brings up a viewer question like, oh, Luann, you seem to be, you know, so condescending this season. Let's talk about it. No one brought that up. Jill brought up herself. She says, you know, what about her deformity comment? So it's like she just stirs up shit. And you know what? Ramona owned up to it, and she said, I'm sorry, I used the wrong word. Well, she actually didn't say I'm sorry. She was very careful, but she did say, I used the wrong word. I shouldn't have used that word, and I meant nothing by it. And I think that, you know, Jennifer is a great girl. But it almost made Jill look stupid because she brings up something, and then Ramona owned up to it.
Right. She brings up a non-issue, and, like, it was the most inappropriate. Like, that was the most inappropriate thing of the season. Meanwhile, Ramona cleared up the air a few times, that being one of them, where she just uses maybe poor choice of words, but she's not attacking anybody. And, you know, for me with Jill, I really just think she says people try to make it about themselves. Jill totally tries to make it about herself all the time. And I really, you know, I think my favorite thing probably was the fact that she says she reached out to Bethany, and you could totally tell Bethany could care less about her, probably has not answered her, and that's somebody who's successful, moved on, and I'm sure it's probably killing all of them, which Luann also made a comment about that. But these women are so up in themselves, and Jill, I'm sorry, she just totally came off so wrong in so many levels on this reunion. Really just unlikable.
Yeah, so what did you actually think of Ramona? Because Ramona and Jill keep being compared to each other, like they're both the women who say mean things and talk behind people's backs. So I personally thought Ramona, this reunion, she owned up to the things that she needed to. The thing is, she always gives those low blows. Like in the beginning of the episode, she said, you know, Luann, how did your daughter even know that club? And I think the whole parenting thing was a low blow, but again, they were bringing up Avery, and so it was fair game. And then, you know, but I thought Ramona stood up for herself. She says, the only reason why I went for your family was because you guys brought up things with Mario. And then she defended herself with alcoholism, and she says, you know, it's a product I'm trying to sell, and so I'm trying to promote my brand. And I thought, and then even when they talked about her being an ugly American in Morocco, she had all these facts to back up the reason why she claimed Morocco, and then she said, I don't want to call it third world, but, you know, I'm not saying I agree with her and what she says, but she seems to clarify her missteps and own up to her missteps much more than the other women.
I totally agree. I think, you know, for Ramona, like I said, I really think she genuinely has some solid foundation to the things she says, even if they are inappropriate. And granted, she was inappropriate at times, like the whole period thing, the whole standing up with the cramps, like what was that about? You know, the drinking thing. Come on, that whole storyline is like so bothersome to me. They were making her, like, they were attacking her to the point where she was defending herself as if it was like she, you know, like, come on. She was pushing a product. We all can see that. You know, it's all about editing. She was pushing a wine, so they showed her with wine tons of times throughout the season. I really can't even believe that they gave so much clout to even Andy, really giving clout to the possibility of this drinking problem. I mean, you can see clear as day she doesn't have one. You know, so I was totally with her on that. There were times where she was inappropriate and a little out of line. But you know what? I really think Ramona, I don't mind her because I really think she has some foundation when she says things, whether they're appropriate or not. And, you know, I just have to say, with the wine thing, the only thing that I didn't like that she did was the way she celebrated her sales. I mean, it shows she was enthusiastic about the success of it, but it didn't come off as, you know, whenever you're successful, you should come off as appreciative, not like a cheery, happy celebration dance. So that kind of turned me off a little bit. But other than that, you know, I was a fan of Ramona's, not necessarily a fan, but I understood her and I understood her arguments. And I just want to get this out there because it's the perfect time you said this, the words yourself about owning it. I think my least favorite line from all of these women that they throw out there nonstop is, at least I own it. What does that even mean? Like, if you act terribly, you own it, so it's okay? I mean, I'm so done with this line, I own it. I don't want to ever hear it again out of these housewives. I think I need to write a letter because it's like an excuse for your action.
Own up to it. I don't like when women say mean things, they say, well, I own it. But if they own up to the fact that they said something mean and That's what I meant. But yeah, I hate that I
No, right. I know. I know, but you reminded me, and I wanted to get it out there because it's like, oh, well, I did this horrible thing, but I own it, so it's okay. No, it's not okay because you own it, in quotes. So I just had to get that out there off my chest. Now I feel better.
Well, I'm glad you got that off your chest. Now, I wanted to talk about Luann. I don't know. There was a lot of talk this episode about, okay, are you condescending? Are you more confrontational? And she claims the reason she's more confrontational is because she's being confronted, which I don't know about that. And then she doesn't seem to see that she's condescending. Like, they showed a whole montage of her constant dig, and she doesn't seem to get it. And then when Alex actually brings up when she calls them her Herman Munster shoes, she then digs at it again and says, well, they were those boxy, ugly shoes. But no, I would never say anything about someone's fashion. But you just did. So, I don't know. I think that Luann is a very contradictory. She contradicts herself a lot.
In three simple words, Luann got caught. Like, she didn't know how to react to the fact that she was giving digs left and right. I mean, it was clear as day. And in her, yet again, passive-aggressive way, she was trying to sort of smooth right over that, I think, and, you know, really in her countess demeanor, trying to sort of make it sound good that she gives these digs out. And she was doing it on the spot when Alex was trying to speak. She was schooling her right then and there, telling her, it's not your turn to speak, Alex, and, you know, a couple of other lines. And even Jill called her out about giving a passive-aggressive dig here and there. So,
oh, I love that when Jill called her out. I thought that was hysterical. I love when the brunettes turn on each other just a little bit.
I know. And you know what I think was the best example of Luann basically, like, being caught is the fact that she insults Alex's dress. I don't know if you caught this, but she insulted Alex's dress yet again, that the black dress that she donated to Luann's charity. And Alex calls it out right in her face, like, oh, I donated that to your charity, remember? Meanwhile, Luann was trying to insult her yet again right here on the reunion for that fashion piece there. So she just totally got caught in all of her digs and tried to smooth her way out of it. Typical Luann style.
Well, one person I feel like seemed to just be in the line of fire with all of these women was Alex. And we were bringing up Luann and Luann telling Alex, oh, you be quiet. Alex seemed to piss off the brunettes so much. And I wanted to save my hatred for Kelly, but when we bring up Alex, I have to bring up Kelly. Kelly was an evil biatch towards Alex the entire reunion, both parts. I thought she's ridiculous. It's like she has something out for Alex and won't let Alex speak anytime she tries to speak. And then she's like weird the way she does about it. It's funny that I'm using the word weird and in that same intonation because that's what Kelly keeps saying. She says, Alex, you're weird. You're being weird. But Kelly's the one being weird. And she keeps saying, Alex, you're out of line. You're out of line. And she keeps bashing her in all these weird ways. Did you not pick up on that?
I totally picked up on it. I mean, Kelly, maybe we're missing something with Kelly and Alex, but Kelly came off as, you're right, total biatch. I mean, telling her conversations weren't important, telling her she's a bad actress, telling her, you know, she's weird. Meanwhile, Kelly's coming off as the weird one. I mean, all I have to say for Alex is poor Alex, because I just feel bad. She is a little kooky. She is married to Simon. Come on. She does get a little actressy at times. And, you know, she tries to come out with these strong lines against these evil brunettes that are, like, totally ganging up on her for no reason, doing, like, the kumbaya moment. I mean, totally just, like, torturing her. And she tries to come up with these tough, like, sort of back-at-you lines, and I feel like she doesn't really pull it off. But that actually makes me like her more, because she really doesn't come off as evil. She's a little weak, I think, but tries to be strong. And I think it's likable, actually. I feel bad for her more than anybody else.
The thing is, Alex kind of annoys me, but I also feel bad for her. It's like, you know, these one-liners that she tries to come off saying are a little weird. She always kind of like gets red and huffs and puffs and whatever. So it's a little annoying, but there's no reason for Kelly to just straight up go after her. She was saying, are you smoking crack? And when I'm thinking, Kelly, you're the one smoking crack. And then what I thought was so bitchy was when Alex was defending the fact that she, you know, doesn't really go to the Hamptons and said she used to go there for acting gigs. Fine, Alex is funny when she talks about being a serious actress, but it's very rude when someone's talking about, oh, I had acting gigs in the Hamptons. Kelly was sitting there laughing and cutting her off. Like, it was so rude.
Right, and she was like, just like you're modeling, right? I mean, okay, you're all on a reality show. You all do things that you probably would never get to do if you weren't on this show. You're all getting the same opportunities that people might say are not deserved just because you're on a reality show. So Kelly has no grounds to be, you know, calling people out on, you know, at least Alex is trying. And, you know, I think she tries to take her stuff seriously and cut her a break. I mean, Kelly just totally was so rude, and even Jill being like, memo, I don't care about you, and, you know, calling her names. I mean, it was just awful. I don't understand what caused this all of a sudden, like, alliance against Alex. It was just totally uncalled for.
Do you think Alex fights other people's battles inappropriately?
You know, I think the reason that's grounds for discussion, I think, is because of this stomping down the stairs in Morocco moment. That's really the only time I thought it was inappropriate. And she tried to defend it and reason out why she stomped down the stairs like that. But I bet if she could take something back this season, it would be stomping down the stairs that day. Because I think that was the only really dramatic, sort of silly Alex moment that made no sense to me. But other than that, they're all up in each other's business all the time. I don't think anybody's fighting anybody's battles any more than anyone else is.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the seventh housewife who wasn't actually there but was there in spirit, Simon, my favorite.
Oh, my God.
He should have just brought him on because they were talking about him so much, he should have just been there to defend himself. But I guess that was the point, because the whole talking about Simon was they were claiming that all the times that Simon inappropriately says things about the housewives that Alex should rein him in and that Alex should step in, which I don't know if I agree with that. He's his own person and she's her own person, and so I don't think that she should have to rein in her husband. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I think it's funny because they talk about her fighting other people's battles and that being a problem, yet they want her to fight her husband's battles, and he's still, his, as you just said, his own person. They're married. They're not joined at the hip. So I think the brunettes were contradicting themselves by, you know, calling her out for fighting people's battles, yet they want her to fight battles for Simon. I totally agree with you, Mari. She shouldn't have to fight battles for him. And, you know, there are men and women in this world that are friends. And apparently, Jill was friends with Simon before Alex. So I don't think the brunettes were making any sense with Simon and, you know, saying to Alex, you have to, you know, reel him in, whatever. I don't think they had any grounds on that.
And, you know, what I thought was so interesting and good for Alex was, you know, we brought up this mean tweeting before, and every time we said, okay, so what are these mean tweets exactly that Simon has written? And I totally agree with Alex. If he had written really mean tweets, then it would have gone to Chris Hilton or TMZ, you know? So she was saying the wives were blowing up the fact that he was tweeting about them as him tweet attacking them, which I agree with her. If he really had been attacking them, we would have heard about it. So I don't think there was that much mean tweeting going on.
Yeah, I think the brunettes are so pulling at straws in this whole reunion episode. I think Simon's mean tweets are about as existent as Cindy during this reunion, meaning non-existent. And
Cindy and Sonia during this reunion, unfortunately.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
I said Cindy and Sonya during this reunion, unfortunately. I did not see nearly enough of Sonya either.
Yeah, I think she kind of had her moment in the first half, it seems. You know, they've split it up into two. And obviously they sat there as Ramona had to stand up with cramps. They obviously sat there for a straight couple of hours. So I think Sonya maybe had her moment in the first half. But she made a few good calls, like calling Jill out on the alcohol thing. And I think she made a few good calls, but you're right. She wasn't as present as I would have liked because, you know, I think we're both Sonya fans. But Cindy, I mean, I really felt like by the end that she maybe said one to two sentences.
The only thing she came up on was that during the Pinot Grigio comment and the women wouldn't even let her talk. But I don't care that they wouldn't let her talk because I don't really care what she has to say.
Exactly. And I think that's why she was so quiet because nobody, you know, you have to speak up for yourself, be interesting, get in the mix, and she just couldn't do it. I mean, I think that's been the problem the whole season.
Yeah. So, sorry, what were you saying about Simon's mean tweeting? Basically that it's non-existent, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was trying to look for, you know, examples of it. I mean, if they're having an argument about this, read it. You know, I would have printed out three or four tweets and read them out loud. You know, I just don't think, you know, yeah, he said, watch out. You know, they brought that up. Okay, so he said, watch out. It was stupid. But, like, I don't think he really meant anything by it. You know, and Alex sort of had her tongue when she was trying to explain that, why he said that. But again, it's not even her place to have to explain that. And I don't even think they're making way too much out of this, like, watch out comment. And I, again, where are the mean tweets? I'm not seeing them. Nobody said one. Yeah. Nobody quoted one.
I think they were making way too much out of the watch out comment. The only thing I will say that is inappropriate on Simon's part was that he called Countess Luann Countess without the O. So
right.
I do think that that's inappropriate. Then again, it's not Alex's job to defend him, and so they shouldn't be just attacking Alex for Simon saying that.
Exactly. And, yeah, I mean, everybody has their moments where they say something inappropriate, even the Miss Luann, you know, proper Luann. So if that was his one inappropriate moment, you know, if he were on that reunion, which maybe he should have been, I'm sure he would have think he would have taken that back, or not taken it back, but just owned up to the fact that it wasn't necessarily appropriate.
Okay, well, before we head into some news and gossip and a commercial break, I just wanted to ask, overall, would there have been a question you would have liked to have seen brought up in the reunion that wasn't brought up, or a scene conquered that wasn't?
You know, I was actually hoping, I guess it being that it's a reunion, they were recapping the show and the season, obviously. But I think, for me, I was hoping to have them sort of address next season, which I guess maybe wasn't the place for that. But I was hoping at the end for, you know, sort of some thoughts on the future and where everybody is. That's the only thing I was hoping for that I didn't see, but I'm not sure if that was even the place for it.
Yeah, because normally I feel like at the end of the reunions they do like a still screen where they say where the women are now or what's going on now, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was looking for a little catch-up and, you know, possible hints to the next season because we all know it's been in the news as far as who's returning and who's not. And maybe they can't say that right now, but at least sort of like what's been going on and, you know, something to bring everybody up to speed. So I was a little disappointed on how they ended. They probably just ran out of tape because they went through so much battling, yeah. But I was a little disappointed not to get a little inside scoop.
Well, lucky you, I have the inside scoop, and I'll be able
That's
to have
right.
viewers up on where all the wives are now. So let's go to a quick commercial break before some news and gossip.
Want to find out what the AfterBuzz is about?
Janice is a drama queen.
This is the divide that is going to carry the series.
Give us a call. 424-256-1729. 424-256-1729.
17:29.
It's television, and they want it to be as dramatic as possible.
I mean, it's Shakespearean.
You never know what goes on behind closed doors.
Find out why AfterBuzz TV is the number one source for after-show content.
Now, in the eyes of Jimmy, Nucky is a villain.
424-256-1729.
424-256-1729.
I mean, who would you guys rather hear that from? Your husband or your best friend?
The wig
will come off. When the TV show is over, get your After Buzz on.
Okay, so let's get some amazing news. This I thought was pretty interesting. There was a 20% drop in viewers from part one of the reunion to part two. So that means 450,000 viewers decided to not watch part two after seeing part one. I personally think the reason is probably there was too much drama. There was too much of them talking over each other, and it's not relaxing to watch television when they're fighting that crazily.
You know, I wasn't sure if it was possibly because of the fact that they aired it on a Monday, right, instead of their typical night. But I'm hoping
it's
because
America aired part one on a Monday too.
Yeah, I guess that's true. So, you know, maybe America is taking a stand here, and actually, I'm kind of glad about that because I don't think that it's a good representation of what we should be watching, and maybe it'll sort of cause them to look at themselves in the mirror.
And, you know, some people are saying that the ratings drop doesn't bode well for what's next for these wives and for another season, because if viewers are tuning out in the reunion, then they may not be tuning back in next season. And Jill Zarin said that the damage is done. I don't know if I can film with these girls. That was in relation to discussing her alcoholism or possible alcoholism. But I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's maybe her hint that they're, you know, maybe that's her way of reacting to their possibly not bringing back the cast. Maybe that is true. And maybe that's her way of sort of just saying it like it's going to be her choice. I don't know, but that's definitely a hint to her not returning in my eyes.
Yeah, well, another hint is a Bravo source says, no one knows at the moment who's in or who's out, but the second the contracts go out to our representatives, we all email and call each other immediately. The source is saying that the wives do that. So if someone does not get a letter, we know within hours. All the cast will now be glued to their iPhones as they wait for the call from Bravo on whether they'll be invited back. So I don't know which wife said that, but that's what she claimed. Apparently, they should be receiving their letters very soon, because producers indicate they want to be back in production by Labor Day. But if a housewife does not receive a letter, it doesn't mean that she's been fired. Instead, it means she has not been invited back.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that sounds like a little like crunch time. I don't know. I guess they must not be feeling too good right now.
Yeah, but I'm surprised that producers want to go back so fast and start filming by Labor Day. I mean, that's a month from now. And so if you're having so many issues with ratings and determining which housewives to have back and whether to change the format, then why rush it?
Yeah, I mean, it could very well be that they've reached out to, you know, new cast members and maybe they have more plans in line than these housewives even know about. You never know.
Yeah, we'll see. I guess it does take several months of filming to actually get to the point of then editing and airing it. So I guess the fact that they'd be filming in Labor Day isn't that crazy, because I think they stopped filming in the spring. So it has been a long break, and God knows a lot has happened in the media to unfold between these women that it very well could make for a very juicy season five.
Absolutely.
So, and then finally, my news and gossip, I have little updates. Ramona Singer says she's been in the Hamptons a lot lately, but that it's all business. She says to be out in the Hamptons, it's business. By being seen and meeting new people, it gives you the liaisons for the fall. And she claims, I've been going to the Hamptons for 20 years. There used to only be one event a night, and now there are 20. So I guess she goes and promotes her skincare, her jewelry line, and her wine.
Right. Well, you know, as a New Yorker, I have to say I love the Hamptons. It is a hot spot for the summer. It almost turns into the city as far as the people, you know, spending time there. And listen, if she's a hard worker, I think she has a lot of businesses. And if she's in the Hamptons networking or vacationing, that's kind of her prerogative, I think.
Yeah. And finally, Countess Luann has been spending her summer with Jacques. They've been in Paris, Corsica, and other places. And she says the kids joined us too. Victoria started a summer program to study art history in Paris, and Noel went on to Switzerland to spend time with his dad.
Well, there's that Countess living her fabulous life, you know. That weekend mom comment sort of pops into my head. I don't mean to attack her or accuse her of anything, but we did hear in news and gossip in the past that Victoria would be studying in Paris. So, you know, it makes sense if they're all together there for a little bit of time. That's certainly a nice place to be.
Yeah, I hate to think of her parenting when this comment was brought up, but I did think about the fact that, you know, the one kid is in Paris at a pretty young age, 16, and then the other kid's off at Switzerland. But I don't know, who are we to judge? But that's it for our news and gossip this week. But I do have a special edition for our prediction, since we actually cannot predict what's happening next episode. There is no episode. I thought you, Jackie, and I, we should discuss who we predict is coming back, who's getting the axe, and what the major battles coming back are going to be if all the women are invited back. So can I get some prediction music going?
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Okay, so these are my predictions. I think Alex definitely will be invited back because the women, she stirred up the brunettes, and she'll be invited back. Sonia and Ramona definitely invited back. They're the Bobsy twins. Jill, she always has drama. And I do think Kelly and Lance, basically the only people I don't think are invited back, the person I don't think invited back would be Cindy, but I do think they'll add someone new in. So also, I don't know if Jill's going to do it. So she's such a fame hog. But I think that the three blondes will definitely be in. And I'm not sure about the brunettes, because I don't know if Kelly will do it either. I think Luann will do it in the three blondes. And as far as the big themes, I think, you know, the whole social media will play an even bigger role. And I think that we'll see even more of Sonia's bankruptcy trouble than we had seen. What do you think?
Honestly, if it's up to the women, this is their way to make money and have exposure. So honestly, I think any single one of them, if it's their choice, they'd be coming back. I think it's a matter of who the producers are inviting back, and I happen to think that Cindy made no presence this season, so I don't think she'd be asked back. And judging from Jill's comment in News and Gossip, I really have a feeling that she has not been invited back, or maybe she's worried she hasn't been invited back yet. But I'm a little worried about Jill and Kelly, I think. But I think, and Alex, I'm worried about Alex, Jill, Kelly, and Cindy. I have the
Why
most
are you
confidence
worried about
that.
Alex? Do you think Alex wouldn't do it, or that she wouldn't be invited?
I'm worried that she, you know, we've heard it in News and Gossip. There's been rumors circulating that she's not being invited back. So, she's definitely being super attacked by the brunettes, so I don't think it would be Alex's choice. Even though she's being not treated well, I do think she'd come back just for success reasons, to have success in life and exposure. But, you know, if it was out there in News and Gossip, there has to be some reason it got put out there. So I don't know.
We'll have to see. Apparently they'll start filming on Labor Day. So during our Real Housewives of Beverly Hills installment, I'll make sure to update all our viewers and listeners on any New York City news. But that's our final episode. So, Jackie, thank you so much. Shout out to Deidre as well. She was an incredible host. And everyone, please join Jackie and I on September 5th for Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Thank you, Jackie. You've been an amazing co-host.
You have been an amazing host. Thank you so much, Mari.
Okay, thank you so much. And tune in September 5th for Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Bye.
See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.